Alexa, tell me about Drive Time Sports.
Drive Time Sports of Southern Colorado is home for the best local sports talk. Catch up weekdays at 3 on Extra Sports 1300.
News that has come down in the last little while. Both L.A. quarterbacks have declared for the NFL draft, Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, making their intentions clear. So there you go. They are in, not totally surprising, but they are officially
They both
in.
Vetoed Cleveland.
No, Rosen did. Darnold did not.
He needs to.
Yeah. Joining us now to talk a little bit about the draft is somebody who does a great job covering it. He runs Optimum Scouting, also does a lot of writing for the Sporting News, and he also talks some Broncos quarterback stuff this week. Eric Galco joins us. Eric, it's good to talk to you. It's that time of year again.
Absolutely, guys. How's everything going?
Everything's going great, especially after you narrowed down the field for Kirk Cousins to two teams. We like that. So, so your report was, and if I get anything wrong, please feel free to correct me, that it looks like it's going to be a battle between Washington and Denver, correct? You don't see really any suitors coming, stepping up at the current moment in time to step up and try to woo Cousins.
We'll see. Kirk Cousins in general has been, and people I've spoken with close to him, he's very loyal, and not just loyal to the Redskins, but to people that have treated him fairly, and he's a very, conservative guy, and values relationships, and values trust in people, and he trusts some people very closely. He trusted Kyle Shanahan a lot, and that's why the 49ers connection was always there before the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, and now Kirk Cousins is looking for not only trust, which has been built a little bit with the Redskins over the last few years, not entirely has repaired that relationship, but built a little bit, but also trust in what an organization can bring to the table. And you look at Denver, tremendous defense, a team that has taken free agent quarterbacks in the past and made them successful, most notably Peyton Manning. And the supporting cast around him, coupled with John Elway, the culture that organization has, are all going to be really important for Kirk Cousins. So you combine that kind of fit for Cousins. Look at the Broncos side of things. This is a team that has spent, I believe, around or even less than $8 million combined on their quarterback depth chart over the last 2 years since letting Brock Osweiler walk and Peyton Manning retiring. This is a team that's kind of been very conservative in spending on the quarterback position. They've missed the quarterback position being good on their team the last few seasons. It's been a really hindrance to that defense being maximized. Now they have the cap space to get Kirk Cousins, get a guy who's a plug-and-play starter. It makes a lot of sense for both sides. So it's going to be the Redskins and the Broncos. Maybe the Cardinals make a late push. Maybe the Jets or the Browns can offer a lot of money to make it happen, but most likely, as of right now, Broncos, Redskins, and then it's everybody else by landslides.
I was going to ask you about that. Carson Palmer stepping away with the Arizona Cardinals. Their defense is nice. They got one of the best running backs in the NFL, a pretty good offensive line. Do you think that Arizona could possibly be a suitor for him? And, we were talking about it earlier, and I go, if I'm Kirk Cousins, I might look at that Arizona situation.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting fit. The one aspect with Arizona is that we're not sure what that offense is going to look like. Not only is Bruce Arians gone, but Larry Fitzgerald, he's getting up older in years. Obviously, I'm not sure if he has announced retirement or not yet, but certainly expect maybe a further decline there. David Johnson coming back with a very serious injury that he looked okay towards the end of the year, but you're not sure yet entirely. And also, the rest of it at receiving core didn't really step up this year. So a lot of question marks there. And again, for a guy like Kirk Cousins, he wants his next spot to be his last spot in the NFL. And he wants to have a franchise that believes in him monetarily as well as in the offense and a team that's ready to be a Super Bowl contender right away. And I think you look at Denver, Arizona. Denver's a clear favorite in that sense. And Arizona, although they've had a culture of winning, doesn't look like they're ready to be a Super Bowl contender right away. I think obviously in Washington, he's had that respect there that they know what they're building. So it looks like Washington and Denver are the two best spots for him, both the monetary spent as well as the Super Bowl contending spent.
So franchising Kirk Cousins is not in the cards.
Never say never. They've done it two years in a row. It's, I believe it's possible again to do, I believe, a transition tag, not necessarily a true franchise tag.
Right.
But that would really end the relationship with Kirk Cousins and the Redskins long term. Kirk Cousins is not liked taken to his franchise. In fact, about 4 years ago, Kirk Cousins and people that were formerly in that front office kind of wanted to do a 4-year deal, 5-year deal back then before this whole franchise issue came up, because they wanted to lock each other together, and people at the top of the Redskins organization didn't want to pay Kirk Cousins that kind of money. So that's when the relationship kind of went off the rails a little bit, and Kirk Cousins wants to be someplace that wants him long term. So if they franchise him this year, he is 100% gone in 2020.
Eric Galco from Optimum Scouting in the Sporting News joining us here on Drive Time Sports. All right, so I mentioned coming in, Rosen, Darnold officially in. Give us kind of the skeleton, because I see those two, and then I see a wide gap before we get to insert third quarterback's name here. Where do you grade this quarterback class? How many real franchise-type QBs are in this class?
I think in terms of on-the-field talent, we're going to see Darnold, Rosen, and actually Baker Mayfield, in my opinion, as well as a lot of teams' opinion, being considered guys that could be high-end NFL starters. And then you have Lamar Jackson of Louisville, Josh Allen of Wyoming, Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State, a couple more that teams in the right situations believe in these guys a lot. So last year's class had Trubisky, Pat Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson. All three guys were considered by most teams to be franchise-caliber guys. Every year we usually have, last couple of years, two or three. This year could be as many as four or five. But the question is going to be, how are teams going to value these guys and not much trust they want to have? Sam Darnold did not look great this year, but he's likely going to be the first overall pick. Josh Rosen has his kind of concerns off the field a little bit. How much your team's going to really want to invest in him as a franchise quarterback? Baker Mayfield, too, with his size, is not going to fit every offensive scheme. So it's going to be a different give and take for these teams, because three of these guys, maybe Josh Allen of Wyoming as well, are going to go top 15. But I'm not sure there are four or five teams that are really sold on these guys as of right now. So there's a lot to be learned in this draft process, especially the Senior Bowl with Baker Mayfield and maybe Josh Allen, and the NFL Combine, the interview process with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen.
So you mentioned Baker Mayfield, and for a college quarterback, there's no one funner to watch than him. And the thing is with these NFL teams, it seems their opinions are at odds what he can do on the football field. Take away what you feel about him personally, about his character. Why are these teams so at odds at what they think that he can do in the NFL?
Baker Mayfield, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with Baker Mayfield, the passion on the field and what he's done related to football is not really a big concern. And if passion and being overzealous is your biggest concern as a character perspective, from any position, nonetheless quarterback, it's not really a bad thing. And I think that the comparison character-wise, mentally, that I hear from teams about Baker Mayfield is Philip Rivers. And that Philip Rivers certainly plays with that tenacity. He'll yell at teammates. He'll talk too much. He'll, you know, chirp a little often, but teammates respect him on and off the field. And Baker Mayfield has that from Oklahoma coaches as well as his teammates almost unanimously. And not every quarterback has that. It's easy to say that in general, but talking with scouts, unanimously people like Baker Mayfield. The real question with Mayfield is, how are teams going to, and if teams are going to, look past the size? And not many quarterbacks who are under 6'1", 6'2", go in the top 15, 20 picks historically ever. But you can believe that a lot of teams regret passing on Drew Brees and Russell Wilson because they were shorter. And those are the two guys Baker Mayfield compares to. There's a lot of similarities between what Russell Wilson did, especially at NC State before his Wisconsin senior year, and what Baker Mayfield did in Oklahoma. It's not only are they athletic guys who can work outside the pocket, but when they have to and when they have to work from the pocket, remarkably balanced, confident, and can attack the middle of the field and down the field. That's why Baker Mayfield is really respected by NFL teams, and why he'll likely be a top 14, 15 pick.
The best player going into the draft process that doesn't play quarterback is who?
Saquon Barkley of Penn State is a likely answer. I think it's more than just the fact that he is the next elite running back, as we saw Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and Leonard Fournette in back-to-back-to-back years. Barkley is on their level talent-wise. But what makes Barkley special is two things. One, he is remarkably proficient as a third-down running back. We saw Todd Gurley develop that quickly in the NFL. Alvin Kamara add that value. Saquon Barkley has developed a lot as a pass blocker. He's one of the more proficient out-of-the-backfield pass catchers in recent draft history. That makes him a perfect fit for almost any offense in the NFL to be a 25-30 touch a game type player, which is pretty rare. But also for Barkley, high character guy who teams know can kind of adjust and change the culture in a locker room, to be a true leader on and off the field. I mean, those two things are what NFL teams are going to value the most about Saquon Barkley. And though he's a running back, he'll be one or two on the board after the top quarterbacks. But you got Connor Williams, left tackle for Texas, Orlando Brown, left tackle for Oklahoma, and Bradley Chubb of NC State, a pass rusher. All those guys in the mix as well.
If the Denver Broncos do land Kirk Cousins, do you think they'll go with Saquon Barkley or get an offensive lineman?
I think Saquon Barkley would be an awesome pick. I think they've invested in an offensive line in recent years, and that's a benefit to do. But, you know, if you can pair Kirk Cousins with a Saquon Barkley with the receivers they already have in place, it's a huge win for the team. And the defense is not an issue. Defense has plenty of talent at all three levels. The offensive line could use some more reinforcements. You can do that in free agency. If they have the cap space available, you can do that in the later rounds of the draft. A lot of teams value interior offensive linemen on day two and day three of the draft more than in day one. Get a quarterback, get a running back. You can figure out the offensive line, other parts of the draft process. But, you know, for a team like that, adding special talents and keeping the quarterback position a strength is all that matters to kind of make the most of that great defense.
Follow him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting. Make sure you read his stuff. Hey, if you would have read Eric's stuff in the sporting news, you wouldn't have had to wait for Mile High Report to put it up on their site. But Eric, great stuff as always. I love this time of year, and we'll certainly be pestering you quite a bit over the next few months. Thanks so much for the time.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks again.
Yep. Eric Alko, Optimum Scouting and the Sporting News, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.